Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the 900th episode of Stu Does America. Thank you to everyone who, for some reason, watches and follows the show. It's celebration time. 900 stupid episodes, 100 more until we hit 1,000. Who would have possibly thought that this could occur? By the way, be sure to check out the show on YouTube, youtube.com/Stu Does America. There is a new bit up there. Might be up there by now. It's coming up today at some point. It has to do with Fannie Willis. We're calling her Fannie Willis for this particular bit. That might give you a little hint as to what it's about. But check it out. YouTube.com/Stu Does America. Share the thing. Share it around. These things have done very well, but we need to get them out there so people watch the show and spread the word around. So please, YouTube.com/Stu Does America. Go there. Check it out. Ali Beth Sucky is going to be here to talk about a new event. Really cool thing she has going on. Plus, all the stuff on Harrison Butker we've been talking about this week. Joe Biden's polling has hit another new low. It's not even June yet. He's already hitting all sorts of new lows. We're going to start by doing J.B. Pritzker. Yes, the 900th episode, and I get to do an overweight white guy. Very excited about it today. J.B. Pritzker, you might not even have heard about this story, but it's something interesting, and I think you might want to know about it because it's something you probably have seen on social media. You've probably seen this thing spread around a little bit, and we had to look at it with a little more attention. Here's J.B. Pritzker tweeting, or Xing, when black women are three times more likely than white women to die from maternal complications in Illinois, we need to make a change that's equitable for families. The Birth Equity Initiative will help us make sure that every new mom and their baby has what they need to be healthy and thrive. And I saw that tweet, and, you know, I don't know. It's some stupid governor with some stupid equity initiative. I don't know. If we hit all of those, that's the only thing we would do, right? But then I saw a tweet under it, which caught my eye. And it was from, of course, Zombie Rubber Ducky. Obviously, that's when you see Zombie Rubber Ducky has tweeted something, you got to check it out. And here's what he tweeted. He said, Stu Does America, relative versus actual risk task force is needed here. And look, the name's a lot longer than that, but I knew exactly what Zombie Rubber Ducky was talking about. He wanted some attention on the claim being made by J.B. Pritzker. Relative versus absolute risk. How does it fit into that? And what is the action squad? Well, it gives me a perfect opportunity to play this stupid song.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the relative versus absolute risk enforcement action squad comes for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the relative versus absolute risk enforcement action squad comes for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you want? What you want?
Relative versus Absolute Risk Enforcement Action Squad is filmed on location with the men and women of Relative versus Absolute Risk Enforcement. All suspects are assumed guilty and will be tortured beyond the fullest extent of the law.
I very well may be the only person, but that's my favorite thing we've done on the show since we started it. And by the way, if you've ever wanted to program a conservative network, like, hey, what topic should they talk about? Tweeting back to people that you need the relative versus absolute risk enforcement squad or whatever the hell it's called, saying you want that and getting my attention with it is a great way to program an episode of this show. I'm telling you that right now. Find claims like this. I am more than welcome or more than willing to dig into them. I would appreciate it. By the way, Governor Pritzker did, in fact, pass the new Maternal Health and Birth Equity Initiative. Yes, he made a big announcement, a big press conference, a big press statement and everything else. It's super, super duper exciting. And he had, a statement as well. We have a responsibility to create a birthing system. It's just so meaningful when you call it a birthing system. A birthing system that black women can trust, from being discredited and ignored to downright neglected. The stories of systemic failure are endless and have cost us too many lives, said Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. This initiative acknowledges that it is a right, not a privilege to carry a healthy pregnancy, deliver a healthy baby, interesting, and make it home to raise that baby in a healthy environment. Now, they both were tweeting and messaging about this as well, Pritzker and Stratton. Stratton outlined some of the things that are in the bill. The Birth Equity Initiative will create a $12 million child tax credit for families struggling to make ends meet. Not exactly sure how that would keep mothers alive during the birthing process, but a tax credit could be a good policy, right? Okay. It will improve cross-agency coordination and expand access to doulas and lactation consultants. And I mean, if there's ever been anything that has saved women's lives in the middle of childbirth, it's definitely a lactation consultant. We all know that that's true. And of course, it will also ensure that babies have clean diapers and home visits. And that's, you might think again, like, what does a baby having clean diapers have to do with the mom living through childbirth and not dying because she's black? It's a great question. Now, of course, they say, as is with every government bill, it's not just about the thing we're saying it's about. It's about so many other things, so many other problems we're solving for moms at home. But the diaper thing was actually a big part of this. Diaper need is a public health matter, and getting diapers to families raising infants while overcoming other economic challenges lends support in a meaningful way, said the IDHS secretary designate. The diaper distribution pilot program will help families with young children with one less essential item to worry about as they strive to ensure good health, growth, and development for their infants. Now, there have been moments when maybe if you had kids, you're trying to change diapers, things go very, very awry, you do think about suicide. So maybe that's how it's preventing mothers dying from childbirth. I'm not exactly sure how that one works, but hey, diapers might be, you want to give away free diapers? I mean, look, federalism is there for you. I don't know. I mean, you know, Illinois wants to give away free diapers. They can give away free diapers. You can choose to not live in Illinois if you think that's sort of a ridiculous policy. Whatever. It's there for you if you want it. But the question is larger here from the idea of relative versus absolute risk when it comes to the stat that J.B. Pritzker used, which is three times as many women die from childbirth if they are black rather than when if they are white. That's a big claim. And there is a study that references it. It's called Racial and Ethnic Disparities in Pregnancy-Related Mortality in Illinois, 2002 to 2015. Now, that's a sexy thing. You want to talk about sexy reading. Oh, yeah, diving into this one was really, really fun. Now, it does talk about this disparity that he's discussing. And the thing that we fundamentally created, the relative versus absolute risk enforcement squad, I think there's another word in there. The reason why we created the enforcement squad at the beginning of all of this, one of the first things we did on this show was to put the enforcement squad into effect, is because politicians, activists do this all the freaking time. They say these numbers, 5 times the risk, 10 times the risk, 20 times the risk. You're going to die is basically what they want you to know. And it sounds so terrible because they are using a relative risk measure. They use relative risk because they don't want you to think about what the absolute risk is. It might be more risky than another activity, but what's the real risk to this? Well, we looked at the study. Now, this is a study that goes over 14 years of childbirth across an entire state. And here's what it showed. There were 130, 33, and 109 pregnancy-related deaths of black, Hispanic, and white women, respectively, in Illinois during the study period. And that's a very confusing way of telling you this. There were 130 black women, mothers who died during childbirth or related to childbirth. That's important. It wasn't always during childbirth. It was sometimes months after. But it was 130 black mothers and 109 white mothers. So you're looking at a difference of 21 people over a period of 14 years. Now look, we don't want any mothers to die. Our policy here is zero mothers dying from childbirth. We think that's the optimum. Mm-hmm. That's what we're shooting for. But of course, the difference between 130 and 109, it's not that much, right? It's a few people, and we of course respect each individual person, but is this the type of thing that would mean a major policy decision where you're pouring millions and millions and millions of dollars into programs and giving people free diapers? I don't know. You can make that decision on your own. We're here just as officers of the law. Okay, that's what we're doing here with the relative versus absolute risk enforcement action squad. Did I get it right that time? I don't know. It's one of those. Okay, so it's a difference of 21 people over 14 years. And of course, what you do then when that number doesn't look very impressive is you say, well, actually, we're not talking about the total number of people. It's not three. I mean, the quote was three times as many when black women are three times more likely than white women to die. So he's talking about the rate of death here, right? There are more white people in Illinois than black people. So the rate can still be something that could be a major problem, right? And of course, when you look into this, what you find is, in a way, what he's saying is true. The rate is about three times as high for black women to die in childbirth and in the months after, as opposed to white women. But we now know the actual absolute risk. So the relative risk is three times as many black mothers as white mothers. Now let's look at the absolute risk. And this is why they don't tell you the absolute risk, because you would not be impressed by it. The rate of death for white mothers, 0.01%. The rate of death for black mothers, 0.03%. Not 1%, not 3%, not 0.1% and 0.3%, but 0.01% versus 0.03%. Now, equity is very important. Do we want there to be a disparity between black mothers and white mothers? Of course not. However, this is important to say, I don't want equity just for the sake of equity. If equity gives us a 0.03% for both white and black, that's a failure. We don't want it to get worse. We just want everyone to have a lower death rate. Equality doesn't really mean much. What we want is none. We don't want either side to be dying, or either any group to be dying in childbirth, or the months after childbirth. Now, you might look at this and say, well, that's still okay. Yes, it's incredibly rare to die in childbirth. It's incredibly rare. And that's true for both white mothers and black mothers. Thankfully, we live in a country that it has an advanced health system and actually has pretty darn good health results for all the complaints that we have about it. That being said, you could still say there is a disparity there. And that disparity must be, as everything is in the progressive world, the result of racism within the blank system, institutional racism within the blank system, in this case, the health system, right? It's always systemic racism. It's always systemic and institutional. And it's just this thing that we have going on, and it's always racism. Well, is it? Because when you look closer at the study, I don't know that you can come to that conclusion. For example, while there was a disparity of 0.03% to 0.01%, the study itself says over a third of deaths were potentially preventable. Again, the study is written very poorly, okay? But break down that sentence for a second. Over a third of deaths, so we know it's less than a half, probably less than two-fifths, or they would have said that. But it's slightly over a third, I don't know, 35% of deaths were potentially preventable. So about 65% of deaths were not preventable, okay? About 35% were potentially preventable. Let's just take them at their word and say that's true and say all of those were preventable, even though they say just potentially preventable. So if it's only a third of that, that's that difference between 0.03% and 0.01% shrinks by about two-thirds. That's a much smaller, much, much, much smaller difference. And it's important to note that most of the deaths were not even preventable at all, according to the study. But is the medical system racist for this even now smaller, less than 0.01% difference between these two groups? Well, the study does go into this and tries to address that as well. It says this: provider factors, particularly delays in diagnosis and treatment and inappropriate treatment, were cited in, again, the way they word these things is bizarre, 56.1%, 71.4%, and 50% of black, Hispanic, and white women's preventable deaths respectively. So you have a situation where about half of the deaths cited actual problems with the healthcare systems. You know, maybe the doctor came up with the wrong diagnosis, didn't treat them properly. But the difference between white and black families in here was 50% and 56.1%. Again, a very, very narrow difference that could easily be explained with just noise in a study. You're talking a 14-year period. You're only talking about 100 people here, and you're really talking about one or two people that make up the difference in that particular statistic. And by the way, we should note that almost three quarters of Hispanic women had these problems. So it was much worse for Hispanic women, right? So maybe the racism isn't against black women, but maybe it's against Hispanic women, right? We all know, for example, for sure it is in favor of white women. That much we know. Except the study also kind of talks about this. The pregnancy-related mortality ratio for Hispanic women under 30 was lower than that of white women. That advantage did disappear after the age of 30, but the racism would be strange to be going after and trying to, I guess, kill Hispanic women over 30, black women of all ages, and white women under 30. That's the racism you need to believe in J.B. Pritzker's claim. Sounds like a lot of fun. The bottom line, of course, is it is incredibly rare for anyone of any race to die during or right after childbirth. Does it happen? Unfortunately, yes. It happens a lot less often than it used to, but it does occur. The difference between these two groups, when you actually look at the study and break down the differences, is so incredibly small that it's impossible to know if it's just statistical noise or if it's something else. And at the end of the day, the question is not equity. The question, of course, is more of a situation where you're looking to lower everyone's rate as much as possible, not make them equal. Raising somebody's rate to make it equal does not mean justice. But there was this one quote that caught my eye from J.B. Pritzker, because here's someone who's really concerned about black mothers and their lives, right? Black Lives Matter. We all remember that whole thing, right? I was concerned and interested at his position and his quote that kind of expanded on this particular bill, because he's talking about this Equity Health Birth Act and the birthing system he wants to make equal. And here's what he said. There is no freedom of choice without access to a full spectrum of reproductive health care for women and new mothers, said J.B. Pritzker. Healthcare, we were talking about this, healthcare for new mothers, but reproductive health care. Gosh, that sounds like something a little bit different, right? He wants full access to reproductive health care. And we know Pritzker and many other in the government of Illinois, their policy on, let's say, abortion is pretty clear. Full access, as he said, access to a full spectrum of reproductive health care. He wants abortion to be available whenever necessary. And it's interesting because we know there is a large disparity in that particular piece of health care. How about this? Perceiving and addressing the pervasive racial disparity in abortion. This study points out some interesting things that might be something that maybe Illinois could focus on a little bit more. In Pennsylvania, nearby state, in 2018, there were 61,011 white deaths. These are premature recorded deaths of all deceased persons up to the age of 75, plus abortions, from all causes, and 20,976 black deaths. Abortions were 23.9% of white deaths, but 62.7% of black deaths. Study goes on. Black women have been experiencing induced abortions at a rate nearly four times that of white women for at least three decades and likely much longer. The impact in years of potential life loss, giving abortions high incidence and racially skewed distribution, indicates that it is most demographically consequential occurrence for the minority population. The science community has refused to engage on the subject, and the popular media has essentially ignored it. In the current unfolding environment, there may be no better metric for the value of black lives. So go ahead. You want to go through this? You want to go find your 0.03% difference? 0.03% to 0.01%. I agree, those numbers are different. And you can say three times as much. But wouldn't it be a little bit more important to focus on 23.9% and 62.7%? Wouldn't it be a lot better if we could get that 62.7% down a massive amount? Maybe if that one got to 23.9%, we'd have many, many, many more black people alive than this slight, slight difference in motherhood, which we should all, of course, work to solve. Maybe focusing on the bigger problems will get us much, much larger benefits. I wanted to play the song again, but I ran out of time. The 2024 Atlantic hurricane season is likely to be destructive and costly, and it has the potential to be one of the most active on record. Meteorologists have called for 24 named storms. It's 11 hurricanes as well in there. I mean, this is a lot if you're dealing with this. You know, my mom used to live in Savannah, and this would just happen a few times a year. It would just be like, oh, I have to leave the house. I have to go. I have to be prepared for these things. Well, you know, medicine, especially for someone who's, has medical issues that are pretty serious, you got to have that on hand. Jace Case from Jace Medical is a great place to start from this. Now, Jace Medical can help you out with your long-term needs. If you have medicine that you take on a daily basis, you want to be prepared for 6 months or a year of that. That's one thing they can help you with. And they can also provide you with a Jace Case. It's 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is fill out a simple form online and you'll have it there ready for you in case you need it. And there are dozens of add-on options as well. EpiPens, ivermectin, whatever you need. What do you need? They've got it for you at Jace Medical. They're empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. Check them out today. Go to Jace.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU at Jace Medical. Jace.com. Jase.com. It's the Jace Case from Jace Medical. Check it out now. Jase.com. The code is STU.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm happy to welcome Ally Beth Stuckey back to the program. She is the host of Relatable with Ally Beth Stuckey right here on Blaze TV and the author of You're Not Enough, and that's okay. You can pick that up wherever you get your books. As well, she's hosting the inaugural Share the Arrows event, which is going to be really cool. We're going to dive into that here in a second. Ally, thanks so much for coming back on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the event. Why Share the Arrows? Why'd you call it that?
Yes, the Share the Arrows event. It's at the end of September. The reason why we picked that name, that title, is because that's a phrase that we've said on our show for a few years. And it's just the idea that when you see someone, as we have so often over the past few years, just get reamed by what we used to call cancel culture. I don't know if we even refer to it by that name anymore, but just the concept of someone being lambasted by their job, by the mainstream media, by the progressive mainstream for standing up for a controversial, typically Christian or conservative position. Or maybe they're being punished by their school district, whatever it is, because they won't use the quote unquote right pronouns or they're standing up for Christian values. Rather than us looking at that person who is being bullied and is being just absolutely, you know, lambasted, punished, and saying, I'm glad that that's not me. I'm glad that I'm not getting punished in that way. I'm glad that I'm not catching all that flack. Rather than just saying that and cowering in the corner, we should stand up and say, no, you know what? I believe that too. And whatever arrows you're launching at her, you can send them my way too. And when we all do that, I really believe that courage is contagious, that it can be powerful, that it really has an impact, and that it's much more intimidating to the other side when we say, I don't care what you call me.
Right.
I don't care what you do to me. I've counted the cost and I'm willing to stand up for my kids. I'm willing to stand up for my faith. I'm willing to stand up for these views. And you can't take us all out, or maybe you can, and it's worth it. But that's why it's called Share the Arrows, because it's bringing like-minded Christian conservative women together to be equipped, to be encouraged, to be empowered by these leading Christian voices, but also just to find community, to remember that we're not alone. I think when you feel like you are the only one who thinks a certain way or has certain values, that's when it's really easy to compromise. That's when it's really easy to second guess yourself and wonder, wait, am I wrong?
Right.
And it's to come together and say, no. You're not an extremist for believing that babies inside the womb matter and shouldn't be murdered. You're not an extremist for believing that men and men are men and women are women. You're not an extremist for believing that we should have a border, that you should have a right to protect yourself. All these things that we're told are extreme and radical and controversial. No. You're the sane one, and we're going to band together as Team Sanity.
Yeah, it's a nice, I mean, it seems like it should be obvious, right?
Yeah.
But it definitely isn't. Are you surprised at how fast this has changed? Because, like, I don't know. I was thinking about, we were talking about politics earlier, and the idea that, you know, 2012, Barack Obama's running for re-election, and, you know, Joe Biden does what Joe Biden does. He just blurts out, like, yeah. You know, that, hey, by the way, we're all of a sudden for gay marriage.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that being a moment. They were, like, kind of mad at him for doing it. They had this big rollout plan.
Yeah.
He sort of just blurted it out.
Yeah.
That's just 12 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
12 years ago, we've gone from the Democratic nominee not supporting gay marriage to whatever this thing is that we are now.
Oh, yeah.
It has happened really quickly.
Oh, yeah. Barack Obama going around in 2008 when he was campaigning to churches saying, no, I'm for traditional marriage,
yeah,
and all of that. And it changed so quickly. The sexual progressive revolution is moving forward at a clip I don't think anyone could have predicted. Really, the people who got it most right, and of course, I'm not the first person to say this, was the person that was ridiculed the most. And that's that 1980s evangelical grandma who said, oh, you know, if we allow gay marriage, they're going to allow a man to marry his dog. And everyone made fun of her because, oh my gosh, you're so ridiculous. But actually, that's really not that far off, because once you start saying that things are arbitrary, that men and women don't matter, that the definitions of these things don't matter, that there is no real definition of marriage, then everything really does become relative. We do have the power to redefine all things. If love is love, then why can't two objects marry each other?
Right.
Or why can't a person marry whatever he wants to marry if love is just love? So when you have that kind of morally relativistic foundation, there is no limiting principle and there is no edge. There's no boundary.
Is that just total loss of foundations? Have people just, because you can always come up with an argument, right?
Yeah.
Someone, you can look on Twitter, you can find an argument that prevents, you know, that'll present anything. And
yeah,
it'll be somewhat compelling to you if you have no basis in what they're talking about. Like,
yeah,
you go on, like, you watch a doctor. I mean, I'm not a doctor. A doctor could say anything, and it might sound right. A lawyer could say,
yeah,
the law says whatever they want, and it might,
yeah,
sound right. When you have no foundation in those things, it's really hard to come up with what you believe.
Yeah.
And it feels like, just as a society, since we've lost such a connection to faith and just sanity in general, we've lost those foundations. And now these arguments like, hey, this person, my son, you know, identifies as a cat, so I need to bring them to the vet.
Yeah.
All of a sudden sounds kind of rational.
Yeah. Well, on what basis would that be absurd? It's no more absurd than, well, your son now identifies as Sally. If we're just denying biological reality when it comes to male and female, why not deny biological reality when it comes to the difference between a human and an animal? Like, it just, that's where it leads. And actually, I think that's why on the right, we have such a hard time coming together and cooperating with each other, because the leftist mentality is we just want to destroy. We don't care why this edifice is here. We're just going to take it down because we decided it's oppressive. And when that is your goal, then it really doesn't matter what tool you use. It really doesn't matter what your motivation is, what your strategy is. Everyone's got their own tool, their mallet, their bulldozer, their chainsaw, and they're all just tearing down.
Mm.
But on the right, we're not trying to destroy, we're trying to build something. And when you're trying to build something, you have to agree on the foundation. You have to agree on the materials used. You have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan. And it's much more difficult to agree upon that when we have the rise of, like, the secular right, when we have different factions on the right. We can no longer even agree on the foundation that we have. We can't agree on natural law. We can't agree on where our rights come from. That, to me, is why, even though I welcome people of different faiths who, you know, agree with me on, say, gender or free speech,
yeah,
I'm glad for that. But at the end of the day, if we can't agree on our foundation, we're not going to, we all just have our own bricks and we're all standing there and like, okay, are we ever going to build something? Meanwhile, the left is just taking it out from under us.
And then we just start throwing the bricks at each other.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what happens.
Is that getting worse on the right? It feels like, you know, because I agree, there's never been perfect alignment, right? Like there was always the three legs of the stool, right? The foreign policy and the economic and the social conservatives. And they always had different priorities. It seems now, though, that like there's a real visceral dislike and leveling almost up to hatred of some of the groups that agree on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think if I were to split it up, it's conservatives who have taken our beliefs to their logical conclusions and their moral conclusions and those who haven't. So what I mean by that is that I think that most people on the right would say that they're pro-life. Now, maybe we disagree on what that actually looks like, but most people on the right would say that we're pro-life. Well, I only in the past few years have started thinking about things. I know this is controversial. I'm not trying to wade into controversy, but about all reproductive technology, things like surrogacy, things like IVF, and have started thinking about, well, if life starts at conception, what does that mean for how we treat people and how we treat babies? And then, of course, you have Ted Cruz and Katie Britt saying that they are now passing legislation that is going to solidify the right to IVF. And so we've got some big differences now. It's like, wait, we all agree that life starts at conception, but you've got super social conservatives like me over here saying, well, I'm taking it to this logical conclusion, and now I'm far apart from everyone else over here.
Right.
And, you know, there might be valid approaches to I don't know, both sides of that. You've got Donald Trump saying 16-week abortion ban, and I'm like, no, that's way too late. Maybe 5 years ago I would have said that's fine. Mm. So I think that's where we are. You've got people who have gotten more socially conservative. I would say I'm a part of that camp. And then you've got Republicans who have stayed put, and we don't know what to do to fill this gap. And then we've got the independents that are kind of moving right of center that I'm thankful for, the Barry Weisses, the Dave Rubens of the world. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I really disagree with some very fundamental things with them. I don't know exactly how to come together and move forward with those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, like a lot of this is conversation. I know, you know, you've done this. And I know Dave has done this. Barry's done this as well, where like they'll talk to people they obviously don't agree with on a lot of this stuff. And I think just like we've seen, I mean, I've seen, you know, Dave in particular, he's moved a lot on a lot of these issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes more commonly from conversations with people who are generally friendly and smart and interesting. And you talk to people over a long period of time and maybe you move on those things, right? Sometimes some of the stuff I see online, it's just like, well, you're the worst person in the world because you don't believe X, Y, and Z. And I don't know. That doesn't seem to ever work. I want to go back to your Share the Arrows concept for a second, because this is perfect with the Harrison Butker stuff that has been going
on. Yeah,
totally. You know, I think this is different now than maybe something that happened a couple of years ago, where he comes out, he says these things. I feel like a couple of years ago, everyone would have done what you said, right? Like step back and just like, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not Harrison Butker this week. That wasn't really the reaction. I felt like conservatives really did stand up and say, like, I might not even agree with everything he said, but man, you know, the guy's got a right to say it, and I'm going to back him up.
Yes, I think that you're completely right. That's my take on it, too, that actually I'm not even sure if 5 years ago he would have given that speech or someone like him would have given that speech. Hmm. I think that he was willing to stand up and say Joe Biden's basically not a real Catholic. He's Catholic, and he called Catholics in charge out, Nancy Pelosi, those people who say that they're Catholic and yet they're pro-abortion. He talked about some really hot button issues of like stay-at-home moms, being a homemaker. He even mentioned surrogacy and IVF, which are very taboo topics.
Sure.
And I would say only recently have they become part of the kind of the mainstream political conversation. I'm not sure if 5 years ago the brand of conservatism that we were all in would have waded into that. Mm. I think people on the right have become more bold in talking about the definition of marriage. I think actually the craziness, the definition of marriage and a lot of other things, but the craziness that we've seen of the denial of gender, just basic biological facts, has made a lot of conservatives, myself included, back up and say, where did this come from? Mm. Trans women are women. Where did we get that? Oh, we got it from Love is Love.
Yeah.
It's the same calculation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same calculation. Mm. And that's made a lot of people back up and be bolder. And I agree with you. I think that we are, for whatever reason, less afraid of the left calling us names than we used to be. Yeah. And I think that's a very positive development.
I totally agree. I know there's going to be a lot of you standing up for what you believe at this event.
Yes.
Can you tell people who's going to be there?
Yeah.
I know you have a bunch of speakers there. It's going to be a great event. And how do people get involved in it?
Yes. So Rosaria Butterfield, she is an amazing author and speaker. She actually lived her life for 20 years as a professor at Syracuse University teaching queer theory. She was a feminist lesbian activist.
Wow.
She was in a long-term partnership with a woman. She was evangelized to by a neighbor who just invited her over for dinner over a long period of time. And she ended up converting to Christianity and has been an amazing apologist, defender of the faith, and has spoken very boldly into the sexual revolution. And so we've also got Elisa Childers. She also is an apologist. She speaks a lot about the dangers of deconstruction and left-wing ideology, how that's infiltrated Christianity. Abby Halberstadt, she is a mom of 10 and a homeschooling mom of 10.
Wow.
She is incredible. And she writes a lot just about motherhood and mothering from a godly perspective. And we've got a couple other potential speakers that we're waiting on. And then, of course, I'll be speaking. But I just want women to know that in whatever stage they're in, they may not have a platform or a podcast, but whether they're a stay-at-home mom, whether they are single, hoping one day to be married and have kids, whether they are working in a job, whatever sphere of influence that God has placed them in, big or small, he is calling them to do the next right thing in faith with excellence and for the glory of God. They too are called to courage. They too are called to clarity in an age of confusion and cowardice. And it might not be some public display of bravery. It might be discipling your children. It probably is for all of us moms. It is that. But it is just approaching our everyday life, every moment with the aim of glorifying God in a very dark and crazy and chaotic time. And so that's what we'll learn. That's what we'll be empowered to do. Francesca Battistelli, Grammy award-winning artist, she'll be leading worship there.
Wow.
So everyone is going to leave just feeling so built up. And they can go to sharetheArrows.com. SharetheArrows.com is where you'll find all the information. We'll be adding new details over the summer. But yeah, I hope to see as many women as possible there.
Yeah, it's in the Dallas area. If you're in the Dallas area, definitely come check it out. And if you're not, I mean, it's not that hot yet. I mean, we haven't hit peak, fires of summer quite yet.
Yeah. Now, by September, they might be.
Don't tell them.
No. It'll be great.
It's
we have a beautiful fall here.
You're going to see the leaves
it's
falling
beautiful.
From the trees.
Oh, yeah. You might need a sweater.
Oh, it's beautiful. You'll love it. SharetheArrows.com. It's great. You definitely get involved in this. This is a great idea and really important. Allie Beth Sucky, you can catch it right here on Blaze TV. Relatable
so
with Allie Beth Sucky. And of course, the book, You're Not Enough, and That's Okay, available wherever you get your books. And don't forget, sharetheArrows.com. Allie, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Making sure you have fruits and vegetables. We're just talking about kind of like the spiritual food you need. Well, you know, you need fruits and vegetables too. You need your diet. That's important. Your mom told you to eat your fruits and vegetables. You probably ignored her. But you can do something now without eating loads and loads of salads. This is a Balance of Nature. They provide an on-the-go solution, a proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables. Come in easy-to-swallow capsules and will give your body much of the nourishment that it needs. If you're the type of person, I don't know. Like, I've admitted this many times. I go to Taco Bell too often. There are technically vegetables in Taco Bell, but not necessarily the healthiest food in the world. You kind of top it off with Balance of Nature. You know you're getting the things that you need, at least. You don't need as much sour cream. You need more fruits and vegetables. Balanceofnature.com can take care of that for you. You'll get 35% off plus $10 off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STEW. It's limited to 5 sets, but you're going to save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need in your diet. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code STEW for 35% off. It's balanceofnature.com. The code is STEW.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hey Joe, new low. Hey Joe, new low. Hey
Yes, this was like a daily segment for a while where we were doing a new low in Joe Biden's polls. And, you know, it kind of bottomed out in 2022 and maybe started to peak, you know, pop up a little bit from like the peak inflation days. So we haven't been able to do this segment in a while, but we have new results from Reuters. Biden's approval rating has fallen to its lowest level in nearly 2 years. 36% of Americans approve of Biden's. I mean, this guy's running for re-election. They would love to get him out of there. We just talked about this yesterday. If you missed yesterday's monologue, it was on the Ezra Klein argument. And you could tell that the tone of it, he's a liberal, saying, hey, can we find somebody else? Like, why are we doing this? Like, all these problems are real. 36% of Americans approve of Biden's job performance, down from 38% in April, which also, I should point out, sucks. But it's down even from there. The lowest approval rating of his presidency, tied with what we saw in July 2022. This is when we're at the 9% inflation rates. So it is a major, major problem. 40% of the population said that Trump is better for the economy than 30% picked Biden. Trump had a significant edge on immigration, 42 to 25 as well. Overall, the approval rating is a catastrophe, down to 36% now, a brand new low for Joe Biden.
Hey, Joe, new low. Hey, Joe, new low. Hey, Joe, new low. Hey, Joe, please go.
Let me tell you about Constitution Wealth. They are the Patriots' choice in wealth management. You know, you're going to retire someday, and you know, you need to have your money somewhere. You need to get some sort of good return. How do you get that return? And how do you do that being consistent with your values? You might avoid, you know, Disney or Bud Light or whatever you're doing at the stores. And, you know, avoiding a six pack might make a difference. But what if you got hundreds of thousands of dollars towards your retirement that is funding these same companies? You need to figure out how to get around that. And I will say it's not easy to do unless you have someone who knows what they're doing. And that's why they have Constitutional Wealth. That's why it exists. Constitutional Wealth can help you build a solid investment plan, because you got to retire someday. You got to have the good returns, but you also need to avoid the woke corporations and all the DEI nonsense, all the stuff that you fight for every day. Don't support it with your retirement funds. Find companies that are doing a great job, can help you with your retirement, and can still be consistent with your values. That's what Constitution Wealth can do for you. They are comprised of professionals who are patriots just like you. Work with an advisor who shares your conservative, patriotic values. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze. constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Get a free consultation today. Sign up now, constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Well, we want to say a hearty, heartfelt, super heart healthy congratulations to Fonnie Willis, who was able to win her. No one else is clapping for some reason. Fonnie Willis, who we're going to call Fanny for at least today. Fonnie Willis she won. In fact, she won bigly. Trump prosecutor Fonnie Willis wins the Democratic primary in Fulton County DA race. Now, there's a bunch of stuff that's amazing about this, okay? First of all, is it possible to lose a race? I don't know. What more could you possibly do to lose more than what Fannie Willis did in this particular race? She said, she says, no one is above the law. Now, of course, she did all sorts of things that were highly questionable and possibly illegal, but I guess that doesn't really apply to her. She said, tonight they delivered a strong and powerful message. They want a district attorney that believes everyone deserves to be safe and everyone is entitled to some dignity. And it's a message that pisses some folks off, but no one's above the law in this country, nor is there anyone beneath it. I mean, seems to be lots of things beneath her. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on with that. But I will say this, she won a higher percentage of votes than any of her previous primary races. So if you think any of this stuff hurt her, you're wrong. I will tell you, though, she's been able to work on some new businesses, and we have one of them highlighted right now at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Fannie Willis has a new. She wasn't sure if she was going to win. She had to come up with some other business ideas. I think she came up with a great one. It's available now at Stu Does America's YouTube page. Go there, check it out, and share it. I don't know. I think we're posting it all over the place. So if you have it, you know, or if you're on Twitter or whatever, you can check it out there as well. But youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. I know it's there. Or if you're a Blaze TV subscriber, check it out there. BlazeTV.com/Stu. Okay, so here's what happened. A New Zealand man has been fined after trying to body slam a killer whale. And you'll be happy to know we have video of it. Watch. Now, okay, he jumps into the water near a killer whale. By the way, the story says he didn't even hit him. He's trying to body slam a killer whale. He was near a killer whale. Even if he landed on the killer whale, what was going to happen to the killer whale? It's a killer whale. Look, you might not have thought that you tuned into a show that's pro body slamming killer whales, but you did that. That's on you. That's on you, America.